And you, Kai Kello, and you are tuned into CKUT.
If it sounds like Montreal, it sounds like CKUT. CKUT's annual funding drive is back, and this year we're celebrating the city that made us. From Friday, March 15th to Sunday, March 24th, tune in for an earful of Montreal-made magic. Your favorite programmers will be live in studio and live streaming online for the first time ever. Tune in online, on the good old-fashioned radio, or join us in person. CKUT friends and family will be providing the tunes for an opening party at Bar La Marche à Côté on March 14th and a closing night on March 23rd at Nouvel Etablissement. Stay tuned at our website for other events that put the fun in fundraising. Don't miss these celebrations of community radio and sounds of the city from your favorite local DJs. We need $50,000 to keep CKUT on the map. Powering a nonprofit radio station is more expensive than ever. Will you answer the call of your community before it's too late? Donate now by visiting ckut.ca/donate or by calling 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, the sound of Montreal since 1987.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Hey, boo, how you doing? I meant to holler last week, but I guess I got caught up in the moment. And I know I missed the party, but I see you online looking smoking. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm sipping on a warm cup of honey with a side of black tea. I've been busy minding my business, busy braiding my hair, busy taking my time, yeah, on my way to nowhere. Yoga in the morning, skin straight glowing. I'm sipping on a warm cup of honey with a side of black tea. Can I call you back in a minute? I don't wanna talk on the phone. So can I call you back in a minute? Make it a split. I need to cherish my time alone. See, I've been busy minding my business, busy braiding my hair, busy taking my time.
In the place of no return, in the place we deny every sense of reality. Moments we realize there is no going back. Baby, you know that you're mine. I dream of you in the night, and I dream you in the day. You give me butterflies, and you make me wanna stay all day, all night. You got me falling, boy.
You got me falling.
So hard, you got me holding on.
You got me holding.
So tight, I only hope that you,
you got me hoping
for too.
Hey, hey. Hey, butterfly stroking through a fantasy, shining in the night like you're meant to be. Loch Ness monster, hard to capture, but
what a gift to see. Give you all I got. Let's get lost on purpose, deep in the place we deny. Deep between both of your deeper than government lies. Tell me the truth. Am I the one on your side, or just someone on the side? What is our use from this cocoon when we fly? Two little monarchs, our kingdom, the sky. Dream blunt, rotate, smoking with my twin flame.
Make me lose my breath. Make me water. Make me sweat. Make me harder. Make me lose my breath. Make me water.
Normally, I could keep my cool, but tonight I'm whining. I'ma be in a dangerous mood. Can you match my timing? Telling me that you're really about it. Why'd you hide it? Talk is cheap, so show me that you understand. I like it.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and our guest this evening is no stranger to Soul P and CKUT airwaves. Originaire de la Guadeloupe et basée à Montréal, Malika Tyrolien est une auteure, compositrice, interprète et musicienne internationale. Son amour, sa passion et son respect pour la musique se ressentent autant sur disque que lors de ses spectacles, dans lesquels elle brille par sa créativité, son dévouement et son authenticité. Que ce soit pour ses collaborations avec Jacob Collier, Jacques Schwartzbart, D'Angelo et Roy Hargrove, ou Vox Sambu, qu'avec sa performance électrisante sur I'm Not The One, chanson phare de l'album Family Dinner Volume 1 de Snarky Puppy, Malika Tyrolien attire l'attention depuis une décennie. Son premier album sur la voix ensoleillée qu'elle a écrit, composé et réalisé a atteint la cinquième place du palmarès R&B Soul iTunes en 2014. En 2016, elle devient la chanteuse du groupe Bocanté, fondé par le producteur et musicien Michael League. La formation a depuis tourné dans plus de 20 pays et lancé 3 albums acclamés par la critique. Leurs 2 plus récents opus, What Heat in 2018 et History 2023, ont d'ailleurs récolté 3 nominations aux fameux Grammy Awards en 2020 et 2024 respectivement. En 2021, en pleine pandémie, Malika coproduit le deuxième volet de solo de sa tétralogie basée sur les éléments avec son acolyte Michael League. Higher est un des favoris des critiques et présente un nouveau style aérien baptisé High Soul qui mélange soul, jazz, R&B et hip-hop. Déterminée à laisser une trace positive dans le monde, Malika devient porte-parole d'Amnesty Canada en 2022 et façonne la génération de demain à travers le Montara, tout en préparant un nouveau projet musical ainsi qu'une première incursion dans le monde littéraire qui sortiront tous deux au courant de 2024. Toute une artiste prolifique et versatile à soutenir et à surveiller. Malika Tyrolien, welcome back to Montreal. What a bio you have here.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing? It's been, we saw each other at the launch of the Gala Dynasty, and I was like, I need to bring Malika. I haven't spoken to her in years. What is Malika Tirolien up to? How are you doing?
Oh my God, I am doing good. I think it's a lot of things to deal with, you know, but it's positive things. Mm-hmm. So it's great. I am not gonna complain. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very grateful about like the opportunities and of working and that I have right now, and it's pretty great. A lot of projects also to come.
Yeah.
So 2024 is off for a great start for now.
Okay. Okay, so let me get this first question out of the way. When do you sleep? Okay, because touring 20 countries, producing albums, working on albums for other people, collaborating with Jacob Collier, Jacques Schwartz Bart, Vox Sambu, Snarky Puppy, Bocante, Michael, like, ma'am, do you even own a bed? Like,
wow.
You just sleep standing up in a corner.
It's crazy that you say that because I always feel like I'm not doing enough, you know. Mm. Like when I see the people that I actually look up to, they work like tirelessly. They work nonstop, you know. And I want to get to that point, you know, to that level. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm there yet.
Okay.
And I always look at them and I'm like, when do you sleep?
Well,
so I feel like I sleep.
You sleep
well.
Too much. let's go back in time a little bit. When did you first realize that you had a talent for art, for performing, and for music?
My father always said to me, you were a musician in your mom's womb, you know.
Wow.
You were reacting to music, like, from that moment. But for me, it was really when I was a teenager. I remember I would really love to sing in my room, mm-hmm. even from a younger age, but it was mostly fun, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I was a teenager, I was very, very sad and very angry.
Okay.
I was like the typical teenager.
Okay.
And I realized that singing like was really calming me, giving me strength, giving me peace.
Mm.
And so I would sing, and then I realized that it would do the same to people when I would sing for others. And that's exactly when I realized that would be something that I would like to pursue. I remember one particular exam, like we had like the music thing, you know, like the music class that everybody has, and you play like the little flute avec. And
yes.
And he had given us that exercise, and nobody was taking that course seriously, except me.
Right.
I was leaving for that music course, and we had 1 hour a week, and it was my favorite hour of the week.
Right.
And he gave us that exercise, and I really worked on that exercise, and I went beyond, you know. And when I did it, he asked like a few students to do the exercise in front of the class.
Yeah.
And when I did it, like the professor was like, okay, whoa. There is something here, you know? And that really empowered me. And I really realized that it was something I should continue, and I should be more serious about.
Right.
And that's when I decided, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a singer.
Okay. I'm here for it. And then around what time was that in your life that you said, okay, I need to do this?
I think I was like around 12, 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So fairly early, right?
Yeah. Right. I was like, it's decided. That's what I'm going to do.
And
How did you pursue knowledge? Did you go to school for music, or did you find a mentor? What was your path going from, okay, at 12, 13, realizing that this is something that really resonates with you, to, okay, I'm now a professional performer?
I have to admit that, like, I grew up in a really, really artistic family, you know, like, my dad is a multi-instrumentalist, even if it's like self-taught, but yeah, he plays many instruments. There's always like music in the family. My auntie, she plays piano. She was a music teacher. My grandmother played piano too. Like, my grandfather was a poet, you know, like, so there's always been this huge part for arts, mm-hmm. For dance, music, painting, like, you know, like, we're a really artistic family.
Yeah.
And I grew up taking piano, classical piano lessons, mm-hmm. because from a very young age, maybe when I was like 5, my parents realized that I would hear something and then I would try to play it on the piano.
Right.
So they were like, oh, okay, let's put her to piano classes. And so I did that. But then when I started to sing, it really opened something in me, and I got less interested in pursuing like the piano. And then I would really sing by myself and really be serious about it, but mm-hmm. I had no training.
Right.
For many years, you know, like the first vocal class that I had was actually when I came to Canada to study.
Okay.
So I did all the things, like, to really do the research to see where I should come and study. And I did a little excursion, like a little vacation with my auntie and my uncle, like, when I was 15 in Canada. And I fell in love with Canada, and especially with Montreal.
Okay.
It was during the summers. It was during the jazz festival.
Right.
So it was just amazing, like, to see all of this music outside for free, like, the best musicians in the world sometimes. And,
yeah,
and, you know, I was like, okay, this place is magical. I want to come here. So I came to Montreal, but I started first in Sherbrooke.
Okay.
And it's in Sherbrooke that I had my first, like, course, my first vocal course. And,
right,
and that's when I really started to be able to, like, learn about my instruments a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And, how did you ever have to have a quote unquote real job? Like something that was not artistically related?
No, I'm a very, how can I say that? In French, we say entière, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, like, what's the equivalent in English, but
I feel like that's complete.
Yeah, well, not complete, but, like, very excessive. I don't know how
okay.
to say that.
Okay, you know,
like,
pass.
Like, it's all or nothing.
Right.
I'm in that character.
You're extreme. So. Extreme.
Exactly.
You're like, so, we're doing this or we're not doing it at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was never like, okay, I'm going to do this on the side I was like, music is the thing I'm going to pursue, and I'm going to probably struggle or whatever, like, but I'm going 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been like my mentality. So once I finished studying, like, I was like, this is me. I have
right.
to find work, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it was okay, because, you know, when you study, you make a lot of contacts with, like, students, even like the teachers too.
Mm-hmm.
For some time I was gigging with one of my teachers. His name is Luc Beaugrand. He was really, he had a reputation of being really, really hard.
Okay.
And, And I because my piano teacher was kind of like that, I think that's, and the whole French system, you know, I'm from Guadeloupe, the yeah. whole French system is kind of like that. It's very hardcore, like, you know, tough love. They will never tell you when you do something good, but they will tell you the little
details that you need to improve,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I grew up. And I felt, I don't know, maybe that's why I was able to bond with that teacher that everybody hated.
Well, I find that having grown up in the Caribbean myself, living in Jamaica and Haiti, I find that our schooling is way, way more tough.
Yeah, it's really tough.
And maybe that is like a result of colonialism and having to, like, you know, work twice as hard to get half and all of that stuff. But when I came to Montreal and I started, I had to start in college because I didn't get into university. Mm. I was like, I was getting A's in classes that in Jamaica, I'd probably be getting C's. And I was like, wait a minute, am I a genius or is the schooling too easy? You know, because other students would be struggling and I'd just be like, you know, writing a 5-page essay, 10-page essay, and the students, oh my God. And I'm just like, okay, all right. I don't know. But I do feel like our schooling in the Caribbean really really prepares us to move very easily, and our teachers tend to be harsher and
super harsh.
And the thing I find, though, it's like it was not meanness. It was with a lot of the teachers that were hard and that kept on us and that kept working, it was because they saw something and they wanted you to achieve your greatest. And I feel like that's the true measure of a teacher, is they see something in you and they make it their duty to bring that out of you as much as possible.
Yeah, the only thing is, I think I agree with you, and I think that's the effect that it had on me, you know, like if a teacher would be hard on me, then it would make me work harder, you mm-hmm. know, but it would break other kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what I feel that was really a little bit disappointing, you know, like in the way we teach the children in Guadeloupe.
Okay.
And in the whole, like, French system, like, for me, you know, like, it's really, it can help the kids that are like, okay, I'm going to tough it up, but it can really break a lot of the kids too, you know, that are going to feel worthless. They're going to feel like they're not made for school. I have a few friends that felt like that, that felt like they were so not great, you know, like they were not great people because they would struggle at school. Mm-hmm. But it was just that school weren't made for what the talents that they had.
Right.
And thankfully they realized their talents later, you know, mm-hmm. in life still, you know, but they had to overcome so many doubts and so many things that were taking stems in the school system, you know.
Right. Right.
And that, I find that Canada is great for that, because I feel like teachers are more, I don't know, I have more pedagogy.
Okay.
They are like, I feel like they are more open to discussion and more helpful when you struggle. And I don't know, that's my lens mm-hmm. of things when I see the way my daughter, like, went to school here, you know, like, I see the way she's thriving, and she can compare. She did school in Guadeloupe too, and she was like, oh my God.
Right.
So So I see both of the sides, and both sides have their, you know, inconvenient and avantage. It's yeah. always like that in life, you know, but then yes. it's only what you choose that is going to be best for you, you know.
Exactly.
And that teacher at the university, Luc Beaugrand, it felt really great for me, you know.
Yeah.
He was hard on me, he was pushing me, and I know that I really worked hard for that course that yeah. he was giving. And, you know, he had that kind of lack of respect for singers, because mm-hmm. his course was like improvisation and things like that, and mm-hmm. and it was really like complex and big and complete course, you right. know, like to finish and be able to improvise properly, and even like the instrumentalists were struggling, you know,
right.
But as singers, you don't have like a thing, you don't have like your fingers to you know, like just point on something or like yeah. and then it's gonna give you the note,
right.
You have to hear it, you and you have to produce it, it yourself,
yeah.
So
yeah.
if you don't hear it, it's not gonna come out,
mm-hmm.
But like the instrumentalist, even if they can just play the notes on their instrument, then they have to learn all the tonalities for it to make sense. So it's a different struggle, you know, but yeah. the primer learning, you know, is hard on singers because we have to hear everything. Right. Yeah. And it makes it really hard, you know. And then he had that kind of like, oh, they're not gonna get it anyway. Like, for the singers that were in this class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna work so hard. And I worked and I worked and I worked. And sometimes I would execute the exercises better than the instrumentalist, actually.
Wow.
And I earned my respect. Yes. From that professor, you know,
yes.
To the point where at some point he asked me to do gigs with him, and that meant everything to me.
Yeah, yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Grammy-nominated Malika Tirolien, who is an artist that has traveled the world and done a plethora of things. We're going to be focusing on her tonight, but we do have to pay some bills. You know, it's Radio Land. Play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3.
Cara Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer, and bingo! It's in! It's in! Cara Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milot in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Cara Patties, the champions of Montreal.
Lover, lipstick and lover.
I like lipstick on my neck. Let me know, I'm your number one select. I like lipstick on my neck. Hands around my waist, so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little tongue, we don't have a long time. Ooh, you're talking nasty and I like it. Whisper in my ear, only me you can hear. I seen it from the back and I'm excited. Tell me what you do when we walk up in. On my neck, leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I like lipstick on my neck.
Ooh. begin love. Oh, damn. Sitting here with all my thoughts, I never thought shit could get so dark. I said, damn. Damn, baby, you're supposed to talk good to me. Why can't you talk good?
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Malika Tirolien, originaire de Guadeloupe, basée à Montréal, chanteuse, auteure, compositrice, interprète, musicienne internationale qui a... Yo... She just done so much work. Elle a fait des collaborations avec Jacob Collier, Jacques Swartzbart, qui a travaillé avec D'Angelo and Roy Hargrove, Voxembourg aussi, avec sa performance électrisante sur I'm Not the One, chanson phare de l'album Dinner Volume 1 de Snarky Puppy. Malika Tirolien attire l'attention depuis une décennie. Malika, I'm so happy to have you with us this evening and to be having this amazing conversation, because in the first segment we went through I want to say the first 15 to 20 years of your life, like of your not your life but your artistic life. Mm. And you brought up your daughter, that you have a daughter, and I wanted to ask you, how did having a child modify, motivate, or just in generally change the way you worked and the way that you approached your music professionally and artistically?
God. Yeah, it changes everything. To be honest, I felt very empowered from becoming a mother, because I felt like it was so difficult. So I was like, okay, if you can do this, get out of this, mm-hmm, alive, you can do anything.
Right.
So that's what it did to me. And to have like somebody that looks up to you too, it puts like a little bit of fire under your ass, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're like, okay, I have to take care of a person now.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And I have to make sure, like, to show them good things for them, for their development, for things that they would like to reproduce later. So I think it's a great thing to have a child. But in this industry, it's also so hard as a woman to continue to work artistically and juggle with the mom life. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of sacrifices on both parts. Yeah. And sometimes you can feel like you're never adequate, you know, like, am I present enough for my daughter? Or like, am I, you know, giving enough time to my music? And you're always like dancing between these things. That's something that has been like the biggest challenge for me, like, you know, to feel like I wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So you battle with this all the time and you do your best, and with time you stop and you look and then you're like, okay, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing the work and I'm doing what I can, you know, mm-hmm, which is the most important thing.
And you said that at one point she had gone to school in Guadeloupe.
Yeah.
Was it, how did that happen? How did she end up in Guadeloupe?
She ended up like several times in Guadeloupe. One time, a father like found work in Guadeloupe and had to go there for like a year. Me at that time, I was at the Cirque du Soleil,
okay.
In Orlando. So I was like, should I bring my daughter to the States or should she go with family in Guadeloupe? I was, Guadeloupe feels
family
better.
Family in Guadeloupe is probably the better idea. Yeah.
So she went with her dad for a year. Another time she went because there was the whole, how do you say that again? The whole pandemic with the whole things, kids couldn't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they had to stay in the house, and I would look at her, have a little classes online and be depressed, and you know, and I couldn't. I was like, no, this child is like a sun.
Yeah.
Every day she's like, she's full of joy, she's not that child that she's becoming right now,
right?
You know, she hated the courses online and all these things, and that wasn't happening in Guadeloupe, you know, like,
right.
They continued to have kids going to school, even like during the pandemic. So I was like, let's go. So I brought her over there just so she could, you know, see kids, like see people, do some activities and things that she couldn't do in Montreal.
Okay. So Guadeloupe had a different way of dealing with the pandemic than a lot of the rest of the world.
Yeah, Guadeloupe was really, really reactive. Like, they were really against people taking away their freedom and their freedom to choose, like, about vaccines and all these things. Guadeloupean people were really, really... And like, you know, like, Black people in general were really reactive and not trusting all these things while it was happening. And Guadeloupe was no different. And also people, because of the temperature, people can be outside a lot. They don't have to be in a place that is closed and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that was helping during the pandemic too, you know, like people have houses sometimes in the wild, you know, like, and you have like a river nearby or a beach nearby, and then you can just, you know, like relax. Even if you're not trying to have parties and see all your friends, you can still go with, I don't know, like your household at least, you know.
Yeah.
You can go and do a fun activity outside and just keep the joy, you know, keep the joy going.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was less stressful, you know. It was a less stressful period to be there during the pandemic than to be here.
Right. So you went as well?
I went as well, yeah. I went
with her. Monica's like, are you kidding? I could go outside, I could live? I could be free?
Yeah, we did the whole like lockdown in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left, basically.
Okay. And you said in passing that you were with Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Ma'am, you can't just pass over that you were at Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil is one of the biggest organizations in terms of entertainment and circus in the world.
It's true.
How did we land this? And
oh my God,
what was that journey like?
Oh, it was beautiful to see. It was like the perfect example of how manifestation works, you know.
Okay.
I had been like a fan of Cirque du Soleil. I was like, I want to work with the Cirque du Soleil. I want to work with the Cirque du Soleil. It was me for like many years. And I landed the auditions twice, okay. You know, for like shows that I really loved. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do everything. And twice, right at the end, I always like fucked up the last thing of the interview.
Right.
The first time they were like, okay, this is you, we're taking you. Last questions, how long do you see yourself working with the Cirque du Soleil? And I was like super young, and I'm a pretty like frank and honest person, and yeah. I didn't think about it. And I was just like, oh, maybe a year and a half. Because, you know, I get bored easily, so...
No.
So I probably stay there for like a year and a half, 2 years max, and then I'll try to do something else. And they were like, okay, thank you.
They were like, oh, that was amazing, amazing performance. And in the back of the brain, I'm like, we're getting her. So, final question. And you failed. Take her off the list.
It was exactly that.
Because it's like their tours last 3-4 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, but sometimes it's like even longer than that. Mm-hmm. Like the show I actually took a part of years later was a show that was going on went on for 17 years, I think.
And how much time did you spend in that show?
I'm afraid to say.
Come on.
5 months.
That's awesome. So this time you didn't botch the question. You were like, oh, I plan to stay here for like 5 years. Oh my God. Tossed your hair back for them. And then you rehearsed.
So that was the first thing that you know, like messed up the audition the first time. Uh-huh. The second time, I think they went for somebody that had worked with the Cirque du Soleil already, so that that would be easier, like for the training and things like that.
Yeah,
I was like, fair. And then after, you know, like after dreaming of this and like these auditions and these failed attempts, I was like, it's okay. Maybe, you know, I'm not made to play at the Cirque du Soleil. And then I let go. I was just like, well. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Okay. I'm okay. It is what it is. I tried and I failed. Let's move on.
That's fine.
Then I moved on, and then they called me.
Hello?
They called me. They were like, we need you to audition for that show, in Orlando. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't think about it. And then I was at one of my friends, and I was supposed to give the video the day after, like it was the deadline. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done any of the work, you know? I was like so out of it.
You were just like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, anyway, why would I do that? I'm not going to be taken.
You know? Right.
And my friend was like, oh, so what are you up to? And I was like, oh, there's that audition, but I don't think I should do it. I think I'm just not going to do it. And he was like, oh, what is it? And I was like, oh, it's the Cirque du Soleil. He was like,
are you crazy?
You're doing it now.
I'm coming over now. We're recording it now.
We spent the whole afternoon like learning the things and doing the songs and doing the audition. So I sent the video. Mm-hmm. And then we had so much fun. We laughed and we were like, and I was so out of it. And it was just trying to be like, no, you don't.
You have to be professional.
And then you let it go, you know, but you don't like abandon right away. And I was like, okay. So we did it. We sent the video. And then they called me back and they were like, you get the gig, you know? And I was like, wow, this is truly only when I let go that it actually happened.
And
it was like a replacement. Like, it was supposed to be like a temporary thing.
Okay.
And so I went there thinking I would be there for like 3 months.
Right.
And after the 3 months, I discovered that they were actually looking for true replacement, like a, you know, long time replacement. Yeah. And they asked me and they proposed to keep me over there. And I refused.
Right.
Yeah, because when they called me and asked me to do this thing, it was supposed to be temporary. And I was working on my first album
right
at that time, you know. Mm. And so I was like, yes, for 3 months. And then they asked for the extension for 2 more months. And I was like, yes. And then they were like, actually, we would like for you to stay there. And,
okay.
You know, and then I was like, no. I'm going.
I love back. That. I love that for you, because it's important. It's I find that especially now, people are becoming aware of the boundaries that they need to set, you know. And that was a boundary for you, like, okay, I can do this because it's temporary. I can extend it a little bit. But now you want me to be here for the next 10 years of my life? No, honey. I'm going back home.
Exactly.
Pay my flight. Send me back home.
It was really that. It was like, but it was it was one of the hardest decisions. I'm talking about it like that now.
Yeah.
It was a pretty hard decision because I loved the whole family there. Like,
right.
they had become family over there. Like, it is the biggest freaking production
on earth.
The world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's crazy. I've never seen anything bigger than this.
Yeah.
Like, until then, like until now, you know, like it's a crazy, amazing experience to be a part of that and to see that and to leave that and create, you know, like bonds with all these artists, that these acrobats, these musicians, these like you know, like it's crazy. It was amazing. And it was not because, you know, there were any weird vibes or anything. It was really a beautiful experience. It's just that I felt that I had to keep my eyes on my first album, you know, and it was a really, really hard decision. And it was also a lot motivated by the fact that I didn't want to live in Orlando, you know. Orlando, it was not a city that moved me a lot, you know. And I was not seeing myself living there with my daughter, like, for many, many years.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I feel like I have to go back to Montreal and finish what I started, which was my album. And I am so glad I took that decision, because it felt like it was so difficult, you know. And then I was full of doubts when I came back. I was like, oh, was it the right decision? But then I finished my album, and right before I could even launch my album, I got the call from my colleague to participate to the family dinner thing. And I wouldn't have been able to do this if I stayed in Orlando, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, oh my God, this was the best decision in my life.
It's like Wyclef Jean's song says, one door closed, another door will open.
Exactly. You
know? And whether it is that the door closes because somebody else closed it, or it is because you closed the door, if you remain open energetically, there'll always be another pathway that will open up for you.
Exactly. In Guadeloupe, we say, Sakila pot l'eau pas chaye. It means like, whatever is there for you, the water cannot take it away from you.
Wow. We have a similar expression in Jamaica, watafio kia unfio, which means that what belongs to you can never belong to anyone else.
Exactly.
It can't be taken away, as you
exactly.
say.
Exactly. So as long as you in there, you know that whatever happens in life is supposed to be happening, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are like just going on this magical journey with Malika Tirolien this evening. And of course, you know, this is not a podcast. We do have to pay bills. We do have to play music, support artists. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to shoot you some ads and shoot you some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviera de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
I'm from outer space. I got Milky Way for blood, evolution in my veins. I'm gone, I've been far away. I'm a
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Our guest this evening is a magical human being. Elle est une auteure, compositrice, interprète, musicienne internationale. She's worked with Jacob Collier, Jacques Schwartz-Bart, who had worked with D'Angelo and Roy Hargrove. She's worked with Vox Sambu, Snarky Puppy, Bocante, Michael League. She's worked with the Cirque du Soleil. Who hasn't she worked with? I don't know. And one thing that I've known her for is her involvement in a group that the pandemic had unfortunately caused to kind of fade out of existence or to disband or however they want to structure it, the Community Vibe Collective. I believe that's how I met you.
Yeah.
That's probably how I met you. What was your, how did you get involved in Community and what was your experience with that group? Because it's a very unique musical format. It's where a group of musicians are put together every week with a group of vocalists, be they spoken word artists, be they singers, rappers, R&B, whatever their discipline and their specialty is, they're all put together and you essentially improvise every single track that you create.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with them?
So basically, Community saved my life.
Wow. Okay. That's a setting the bar real high.
I had just, you know, like I was in several bands and I was doing my fan back at the University of Montreal. And I think I took too much work, you know, and I finished everything, but then I had like a breakdown and I was just like, I quit everything. Once I finished, I graduated, I quit all the bands that I was in, and I just stayed at home and slept.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought it would be like for, I don't know, a week or maybe two, and then I would be back to, you know, work some more and start my life as a musician. But it transformed in like a kind of a depression.
Mm.
And so I wouldn't want to leave the bed, you know?
Right.
And my boyfriend at the time met a guy in the street, because my boyfriend at the time was like really, really like a super cool guy that likes to talk with anybody, you know, outside.
Very social.
Very social and very, very cool. And then he met this guy in the streets and they became friends, you know, and they would talk. And he was like, yo, my girlfriend is not super well right now, but she's a singer. And I think, you know, she needs to sing. She needs to do something. She needs to work. Do you know any place she could go and sing, you know?
Yeah.
And that person was Fabrice Coffey.
Oh!
And Fabrice was like, oh, tell your girlfriend to come to that place. It's at Sablo Cafe. It's like Saint Zotique.
That was way back.
Way back. Yeah. And he was like, tell her to come there and watch the show. And if she likes it, she can talk to the founder of Jason. The collective,
yeah.
Jason. And then maybe we'll see from there.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, let's go. It's Tuesday night. Like, let's go. I want to bring you somewhere. You're going to see. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, no. He's like, come on, please. I'm like, I'm not leaving my, I had like that, how do you say that, joggings, you know?
Okay.
The survêtement, you know?
Okay, like, okay, I'm not coming out of my pajamas.
Like that you keep at home.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not getting out of this. He's like, okay, stay like this if you want. So I left like this and I went there like really not hoping for anything. I was
right.
Like, oh, we're gonna go there, it's gonna suck, and I'm gonna go back in my bed. And I went there, and these guys came on stage, and it was magical. It was incredible. It lit up my whole body, my whole soul, my whole mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to see so many Black people together, you know, in right. one place, it's something that I hadn't seen a lot before. Like, you know, I was one of three Black person in the whole Faculty of Music in Université de Montréal. I was one of two Black people in the whole Faculty of Music in Université de Sherbrooke, you know?
Right.
All my friends were white, like, you know, like I was feeling, you know, mostly like a lot of the times I was feeling misunderstood, you know.
Yeah.
You were
suffering from a lack of melanin syndrome.
Yeah, I was suffering, you know, I was suffering a little bit because, there are some things that we understand mm-hmm. within ourselves because we all lived it. And that creates kind of a bond and an understanding, you know, when we leave difficult things. And this is something that I didn't have with my white friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were sometimes hermetical to some of my problems or my doubts or my questions. They couldn't understand why, you know.
And some of the systemic problems you exactly. experience.
Exactly. And they wouldn't see it because they couldn't leave it because we didn't have the same lens of experience, you know? Yeah. And to be there and see all these people together, I was like, wow, I want to be a part of that for sure.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the show, I went to see Jason and I was like, hi, I'm a singer. I wanna... How do I get into this? And he was like, okay, come next Monday. On Mondays, we do like rehearsals or repetitions and auditions, you know. Mm-hmm. So come next Monday and we'll see. And I came the Monday after and I sang and they were like, okay, you're in. And I was like, oh my God. And that's how I started to go to community. And yeah, I was in love with this. The fact that it was so free, so opening. It was like a conversation and you have to listen and you have to have, you know when to talk also and when to express yourself, but like the whole thing and give space to everybody and musically, you know. And it was such a school. For me, it was a second university.
Yeah
Like, for real, it was really an incredible experience. I think it, at the time, it was the biggest community of artists in Canada, you know.
Yeah.
It was it picked, I think, at like over 80 members, like poets, dancers, you know, like painters, rappers, singers, musicians from all over the world, all over the place, all discussing and, you know, like talking together and making something better because we work together, you know.
Yeah.
So that was really a great school, and I'm forever gonna be grateful to community for all that it gave us.
Absolutely. And then in 2 days, actually, you're going to be you're going to make the official transition from musician, singer, songwriter, international artist into published, selling author. And not only that, a children's author. So how do you, where does the ceiling, where do you get your limit? Because obviously, for Malika Tirolien, there is no ceiling. So tell us, because your book is coming out. It's going to be available for purchase. You showed me one of your proof copies, earlier.
I received them yesterday.
Yeah. So how did you make that transition, and why did you decide to write a children's book?
It's crazy because it stems from the pandemic, you know. Like, I was talking about my white friends, you know, from the university. Sometimes they wouldn't understand when I would talk about some of the struggles of Black people, you know. Mm-hmm. They would dismiss it, or they would, you know, like, they would not understand.
Yeah.
And because it's not something that is taught anywhere, you know. If we ourselves do not go and get the knowledge and get, you know, the information, it's not something that would be out, you know, like this. So for sure they wouldn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And as I was trying, they would brush it off, you know.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, and the whole George Floyd, you know, like the whole Black Lives Matter and everything. And a few of these friends came back to me and they were like, wow. We did some research after that. We did some research and we realized all these things you were saying all along, you know.
All these years, yeah.
All these years, and we were not taking it seriously, and we were not listening. Mm. And they apologized.
Wow.
That was like such a huge moment. Mm-hmm. For us. And they apologized to me, and they were like, wow, we want to do better. We really want to do better. And I respect that so much. And one of these friends was like a publisher, you know, and she was like, what can I do? I don't know what can I do? I want to do something. I want to actually do something that counts, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was like, what do you think of writing a book? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not an author. Like, I don't know anything about writing a book. And she was like, yeah, but like a children's book, you know, like, because it's, we talked about it and we were like, it's through the new generation that we can actually change things. You know, if the kids are aware that we are all one, that we are all connected and, you know, that we are all equal, then it's gonna, you know, help a lot in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and it's gonna, I don't know, it feels like it's through education and through the youth that we have to do this. And she was like, so you should write a book. And I'm like, I have zero experience on it. She's like, try, I trust you. And then I was like,
okay. Let's go.
And yeah, I wrote that story and it took form and everything. And she was like, I knew it would work.
Yeah.
So she really pushed me. She really inspired me, like, and pushed me to go out of my comfort zone and try something new.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for her and the result. I'm so, so proud of the result coming out in 2 days. We're going to have actually a launch at the Librairie Racine.
Of course.
Yeah, so people can come and I can sign their copies. And yeah, it's the first baby. We collaborated with a great illustrator, Chiara Thompson, and the Fonfon publishing with this first book featuring a Black character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I think I need to get a copy because I actually work at my son's library. I volunteer at his library. And I recently started reading for the kids.
Oh, my God.
But
that's so awesome.
I can say this on the radio. They're probably not going to hear it. I feel like an evil genius, like, kind of, because all of the books that I read are Black. And all of the books that I read have, like, a Black message. Like, the first book that I read was Sulwe. Lupita Nyong'o's book.
Wow.
And it was as I was reading it that I was like, oh, this is really talking about some deep issues that Black people go through. And you know, of course, there's a lot of Black kids there, but the majority of them are white, and I'm like, are they going to get it? I'm still gonna read it for them. Yeah.
Wow.
So congratulations on your publication.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm looking
the
forward
book is
to getting
Entangu.
A copy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Entangu, and it's coming out March 21st in 2 days. And I'm very, very excited about this. And I hope people will like the story, and I hope people will connect to the story. And and that it will make kids, like, think, you know, and do better.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our third segment. And so after the third segment, we got to do what? We got to pay some bills. We got to play some music because it's Radioland. But keep it locked because we're going to be closing up very soon with Malika, finding out what she's up to and what's going on in the city with her, where she's going to be flying to next. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
to wear such bad vibes when the world is already full of dirty laundry? Why are you so negative? Why would you have to be so mean with yourself, with your kin, obligating me to intervene? Do you need some food? Are you lacking some sleep? Do you need a warm embrace? How can I change your mood? How can I flip your attitude? Can I put a smile on your face? Can't you just be cool?
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening est une originaire de la Guadeloupe, basée à Montréal. Malika Tirolien est une auteure, compositrice, interprète et musicienne internationale. Son amour, sa passion et son respect pour la musique se ressentent autant sur disque que lors de ses spectacles, dans lesquels elle brille par sa créativité, son dévouement et son authenticité. On va pouvoir dire les mots. Que ce soit pour ses collaborations avec Jacob Collier, Jacques Schwartzbart, qui a travaillé avec D'Angelo et Roy Hargrove, ou Voxambou, qu'avec sa performance électrisante sur I'm Not The One, chanson phare de l'album Family Dinner, volume 1 de Snarky Puppy, Malika Tirolien attire l'attention depuis plus d'une décennie. Son premier album, Sur la voix ensoleillée, qu'elle a écrit, composé et réalisé, a atteint la 5e place du Palmar R&B Soul iTunes en 2014. And the list just goes on and on and on, and I'm sure, je suis sûr qu'il y a ben de choses qui n'est pas sûr dans ta biographie. Malika Tirolien, merci d'être venue. Tu es en train de faire le lancement de ton livre officiel pour le public dans 2 jours, le 21 mars.
Exactement.
What are you up to in the city nowadays? Because there's also this little thing called the Grammys that Madame was in a very, very elaborate dress probably within arm's reach of the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z's and everybody else who was there.
Crazy.
How was that experience?
Incredible, incredible. So I am musically, we talked about the Entangu, my first book, my first children book coming out March 21st, but I'm a musician, you know, like yes. I'm a singer first, and that is not going anywhere. I'm not transitioning. I'm just trying new stuff.
Yeah.
But the main thing remains like the music.
I think that's important, because we have a multitude of experience that will allow us to do a lot of different things, especially as artists.
And exactly.
Even if you're not an artist, whatever you do, you can take it and use it in something else.
Exactly. You know? So, exactly. Yeah, it's, why not? It's really great to try new stuff, and it's opening other areas, and it's all usable in arts. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's all coming back, going, you know, and it's amazing. And musically, like, I'm a part of the band Bocanté. Mm-hmm. It's a band that was born in 2016. It's Michael League, the founder of Snarky Puppy, also that had this idea of making a band with different people, different generations, and people from different places, you know, as a statement, as you know, like, and we couldn't agree more that we all need each other, like we are stronger together, and everything is richer and better when we are together, you know, like we thrive through the diversity, and you know, and that's why the band is called Bocanté, which means exchange in Guadeloupean Creole. Okay. And I love this band so much. We have 3 albums. Our first one, Strange Circles, came out in 2017. Okay. Our second one, What Hit, came out in 2018 with the Metropole Orchestra from the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and got, you know, like a nomination at the Grammys in 2020. It was pretty crazy. It was right before the world shut down, you know, wow. February 2020, and right. we got to live that crazy experience, going to the Grammys, being against Burna Boy and Angelique Kidjo and all these amazing artists at the time.
Yeah.
And we made our 3rd album post-pandemic. It was so different, you know, like the first 2 albums, it was mostly my colleague and I, you know, writing. Mm-hmm. But then the 3rd album, we were like, okay, let's see like what everybody in the band wants to contribute, you know? Yeah. And then we worked kind of creating the songs. And then we went to do a session in Spain in Michael Leek's house and just jamming and creating like some more. Mm-hmm. And that's how the 3rd album was born. And I think it's a lot of the band's favorite, you mm-hmm. know, album now, because it's more collaborative, you know, and you can feel the influence from everybody. So it's super rich. And that album is called History and got nominated for 2 Grammys this year. So we went there, we went in LA. I saw Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Stevie Wonder and Celine Dion. And he was amazing. Joni Mitchell, like it was crazy amazing to just be in that room, you know, mm-hmm. Witnessing all these people with crazy talents. And we feel very grateful to be recognized from the Academy, but at the same time, that's not why we write the music. We write the music for the people, you know, like, and we write the music for us too, like, you know, for what it does, for how it brings us together, and for what it could do for other people. So that project is still going strong. We're going to be touring this summer with Bocanté and presenting the music of that 3rd album for the first time. Nice. Nice. So we're pretty excited about this. And I put out a 2nd solo album called Higher in 2021 during the pandemic. We toured it like a lot during 2022 and 2023 in Europe, in the States, in Canada, a little bit in the Caribbean. So it was pretty great. And right now I'm working on some new music that will be available soon too. So like, you know, like, okay. I hope the people are going to stay connected, because Yeah, we have been working on some new stuff, and we're pretty happy and proud about it. And it should come out shortly. So stay connected.
Stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned. So where will people be able to get Ntungu, your book?
They can get it at any library starting 21st of March.
Yeah.
But we are going to have the launch at Librairie Racine on March 21st. So if they want a signed copy, that's where I'll be. But they can get the book in any library they want to.
Nice. Well, let people know also... I want to ask you, if you could give one piece of advice to someone who is thinking about diving into the arts, what would that advice be?
That advice would be... Yeah, there's so many things that I want to say.
Yeah.
But the most important thing would be trust your heart, trust your guts, trust your heart, because that's where your true essence is, you know. And if you follow your heart and you follow what you feel, it's the best way that people can feel you too.
Yeah. Malika Terrelien, tell people how they can follow you, how they can find your work, where they can find your work, please, because they need to know.
So, as you said, my name is Malika Terrelien. If you would like to listen to the music, you can find my solo albums everywhere, like on the platforms, Spotify, Tidal, all these things under my name, Malika Terrelien. You can also listen to Bokante on these platforms. Bokante is spelled Bokante. And I am also on the socials, so Malika Terrelien on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can find me. It's just Malika Terrelien. And you can also find Bokante there on the same social. Bokante Music, I think, on Twitter and Instagram. Amazing. And Bokante only on Facebook. And you can... purchase my book soon, my first children's book, in 2 days in any library of your choice. I'm very, very excited about this. It's called Ntungu. And some new music coming out soon. So stay tuned on socials.
Yes.
There's also my website on malikaterrelien.com.
Amazing. So you have it. Malika Terrelien everywhere, MalikaTirolien, everywhere, social media. You want to buy the music? Go on iTunes, find Malika Terrelien. Bokante, find. support local artists, because like I say in my show, without art, nothing in the world would exist. And we need art in order to thrive. And especially during the pandemic, art was what kept most people alive. If you were watching Netflix, you were watching art. If you were listening to music, you were listening to art. Kept a lot of people, you know, from sliding into some seriously dark places. And it also brings a lot of people to joyful places as well. Malika, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. It was a pleasure. So much fun.
So next week we are going to be having our live teen talks from West Haven. Last month we had a bit of technical difficulties, so we did start the show a little bit late, but we've sorted out those technical difficulties, and we're going to be announcing, you know, talking to all the right people in the right timing. And Zip, who's from Ill Groove Gardens, every Sunday evening, will be with us with the teens. The teens are going to be back, and we'll be having guests. So please do tune in next week, Tuesday, for our live teen talks. We've been talking to Malika Terrelien, It's been a pleasure. Thank you once again. And keep shining. Keep just being the phenomenal woman that you are.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we didn't talk about that.
Yeah. Listen, I have to bring you in on another show. We'll do it another time. We'll do it another time.
Thank you so much.
Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives. Once again, we are going to be doing something this summer to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Soul Perspectives. So keep your eyes and ears peeled because, you know, you might want to join in that celebration. We're going to be trying to bring some artists. We're going to be, maybe there might be some kind of potential award thing that's gonna happen. I don't know. Maybe there'll be something. I don't know. But we'll just have to see. But keep it locked, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Soul Perspectives. We're here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And yeah, it's been a pleasure as always. Have a good night. Be safe. Be well. Be love and be joy. You're listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonne vibration se casse. Je veux qu'ils perdent, je veux qu'ils souffrent, qu'ils se sentent comme une merde tombée au fond d'un gouffre. Ce qui m'a fait, m'a marqué à vie. Et puis toi, tu viens et tu me dis. T'as fumé, oui. Et pourquoi tu me parles à moi? Pourquoi pas à lui qui ne respecte pas mes droits, qui ne craint que des ennuis? J'en ai pris plein la tête, mais maintenant je rends les coups. Je vais lui faire sa fête et crois-moi, j'irai jusqu'au bout. Y'a pas d'autre moyen, je ne vois que la revanche. La roue tourne, j'ai la main et je vais gagner cette manche. Je m'en fous de perpétuer un motif malsain. Ça va trop me faire du bien qu'il en parle enfin.
That's in my blood, like a lotus I grew from the mud, yeah. Manifested by design, finally free from the lies, yeah. I got my elders here with me, keeping my eyes on the truth. They watching like it's a movie, from the top of the hills of Burundi. I done had an epiphany, chakras aligned, stars in the sky, steady protecting my energy. Facing my demons one at a time. Fuck it, I'm coming through, young, black, gifted and beautiful. Fuck it, I'm coming through.
Like, is this it?
Yo, I remember being diagnosed, rocking shows from coast to coast. Holding hope, I hate to boast, I don't know why they think I coast. Life's a roller coaster, safe, I'm raising the bar, chasing the star. Take a leap of faith, I hope you go far. Gravity hard, on this habitat between Venus and Mars. Before you leave, peep the beats and check the distance in odds. Tie up your laces, pawn the pavement, then get A1 and star. And through these tragedies, adversities, I thrive to survive. Hey yo, just because you live and die, don't mean you alive. And so I'm
giving them the best of me, cause the rest of me.
Everybody listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro.
Dacă pleci, ușa nu o mai închide. Sper să treci, poate mâine pe aici. Te petrec și mă uit la tine, parcă pierd ceva din mine. Zău, îmi e greu. Poate dacă ploaia s-ar opri să mai cadă lacrimi, stele a răsărit, tu ai venit. Supărat sunt oamenii, stau în cârciumă să-mi ierte camarul, beau și te aștept până la zi. Yeah.